Last episode, I said something that probably set off an alarm in some of you. I said your loneliness isn't a character flaw. The reason you feel cut off isn't that you're bad at people. It's that the shape of daily life stopped building the kind of close-knit circles that hold people together. And as soon as I said that, a voice in the back of your head may have said, "Hold on. That sounds a lot like an excuse. It's the structure, it's society, it's not my fault." That's the kind of thing people say when they want to feel better without actually doing anything. And you'd be right to be suspicious. I know someone who felt exactly that. His name was David. Sharp, clear-eyed, the kind of person who calls things what they are. When a friend tried to explain his loneliness through the same idea, "It's not you, it's the shape of things," David shut it down fast. He said, "Look, I understand why that's comforting, but here's what I notice. The people who spend all their time explaining why things are broken usually end up doing less about it, not more. So maybe your theory is right, and maybe it isn't. But either way, doesn't using it as an answer let you off the hook?" David wasn't being cruel, he was being honest. And he deserves a real answer, not a hand wave. So that's what this episode is. We're going to give the doubt its full weight, and then show why the built-in view, when you actually follow it through, asks more of you than the blame does. Let's not skip past David's worry, because the failure mode he's describing is absolutely real. There is a kind of thinking that uses outside-the-person explanations as a way to stop moving. The conversation goes like this: "Why am I lonely?" "Because the world is set up wrong." "What am I doing about it?" "Nothing, because the world is set up wrong." And the explanation becomes a ceiling instead of a door. We've all met someone who can explain exactly why nothing works and has given up trying to make anything work. That person isn't wrong about the problem. They may have the real issue exactly right, but the explanation is doing something dangerous for them. It's become a reason to stop. So David's worry is not paranoid. It's the honest reading of how this kind of thinking tends to go wrong. The question isn't whether the failure mode exists. It clearly does. The question is whether this idea, used correctly, leads you toward that failure or away from it. And that's the whole thing this episode turns on. Because I think, when you follow the idea all the way through, you find it leads somewhere David didn't expect. Here's where the built-in view actually goes, and it's sharper than the usual argument in either direction. Two things are true at exactly the same time, and you have to hold both, because the moment you drop one, you go wrong. The first, the cause, is not your character. You did not personally build a world that replaced neighborhoods with commutes, close friends with hundreds of folks you barely know, shared dinners with solo screens. That world got built over decades by forces much bigger than any one person. So the shame you may have been carrying, the quiet sense that something must be wrong with you because you don't have closer friends, that shame is genuinely misplaced. You didn't cause this. That's the first true thing. The second, the answer is still yours to make. Nobody who helped build that world is coming back to rebuild your circle for you. The government is not going to schedule your friendships. The company that sold you the laptop is not going to connect you to the people who live two blocks away. Whatever changes in your actual life, the people you know well, the circle that shows up when things go sideways, that part is going to have to come from you. So here's where the built-in view actually lands. It is not your fault, and it is your job, both at once. Hold them both. Because the moment you drop the first one, you go back to blaming yourself for something you didn't cause, and shame is a terrible fuel. And the moment you drop the second one, David's failure mode kicks in. Understanding becomes inaction, the explanation becomes the ceiling. The built-in view done right doesn't let you off the hook. It hands you a better hook to hang your effort on. Now here's where the built-in BUE stops being a philosophy and starts being genuinely useful, and where it actually wins the argument for good, not just on paper. When David blamed himself, here's what he did. He spent years on the wrong cure. He worked on being more impressive, more interesting, sharper in conversation, because if the problem was him, the fix had to be him. He tried to become someone more worth knowing, and none of it moved the needle on loneliness. Not because he failed at self-improvement, he didn't, he got genuinely sharper, but because his actual problem was never a likability gap. There's a real finding here, and it matters. People who are lonely are not, by and large, harder to like. When you actually put them in a room with strangers and watch what happens, they come across as warm, interesting, worth knowing, just as well as anyone else. What they have less of is not personal appeal. What they have less of is structure, the repeating, low-stakes contact that turns a stranger into someone familiar and someone familiar into someone you'd actually call. So David's cure, be more impressive, was aimed at a gap that didn't exist. He was applying a real effort to a wrong wound, and the wound that actually needed treating was somewhere else entirely. That's not a small mistake. Years of real work, all aimed wrong, all landing nowhere. The moment he switched, once he saw the real problem as missing structure, not missing appeal, his exact same effort started working. Same energy, different aim, completely different result. That's what's at stake in getting the real problem right. So let's come back to David's worry directly, because he was afraid that it's the structure would be an off-ramp, a comfortable answer that lets you stop. What we've just seen is the opposite. When you actually follow the built-in view all the way through, here's what it demands. First, it asks you to stop spending your effort on the wrong thing. That sounds easy, but it's actually the harder ask, because the wrong thing, for most people, is something they've been working on for years. It means being willing to let go of the self-improvement project that was never going to work. That takes honesty. Second, it asks you to start doing something that feels strange and awkward, building structure on purpose, in a world that doesn't make it automatic anymore. Scheduling the repeating thing, showing up before it feels natural, putting something in the jar before you feel like you have anything to give. Third, and this is the one that really bites, it asks you to stay. Not just to start, but to keep showing up past the point where it feels like nothing is happening, because the research on how friendships actually form is clear that closeness comes from time and repetition, not from any single perfect conversation. The built-in view, followed honestly, is demanding. It just demands the right things, which is the whole difference between working hard in the wrong direction and working hard where the effort actually lands. Let me bring this close now, because the real question isn't about David anymore, it's about you. Take a moment and think honestly about where your effort has been going, not where you wish it had gone, where it actually went. When you've thought about being less lonely, less cut off, less like someone who eats alone on a Tuesday, what was the fix you reached for? Was it something internal? Become more interesting, be more confident. Stop being so quiet, so intense, so hard to read. Get funnier, get fitter, get a better story to tell about yourself. I'm not saying those things are bad. Some of them are real goods on their own terms. But if you've been using them as the answer to disconnection, you've been spending real energy aimed at a gap that may not exist in the way you think it does. The gap isn't in you. The gap is in the scaffolding between you and other people, the missing regular contact, the group that doesn't exist yet, the thing nobody set up because everyone assumed someone else would. That's the gap that responds to effort. That's where the jar is waiting. And here's what I want you to sit with. If you shifted even a fraction of the energy you've been putting into becoming more impressive, and put it instead into building one piece of repeating contact with people, what might already be different by now? You probably can't fully know, but you can start finding out this week. Here's your one thing this week, and it's a give, not a test of yourself. This week, you're going to give one piece of repeating contact to someone who could use it. Here's what that looks like in practice. Find one person in your life who you already like, someone you already know, even loosely, who you've been meaning to see more of, or who you suspect feels as cut off as you do. And then do something small, specific, and repeating. Ask them to do the same thing again next week. Walk the same block. Eat lunch again. Show up at the same time. The key word is again. Because the structure isn't built in the first contact, it's built in the second and third and eighth. The first time, you're still strangers with a plan. The second time, you're people with a pattern, so you're giving them a pattern. You're being the person who sets it up, who schedules the second one before the first one ends, who does the thing that turns a good conversation into the beginning of something real. That's a give. You're giving someone else a piece of structure that neither of you has anywhere else, not because you become more impressive, not because you finally fixed whatever was wrong with you, because you aimed your effort at the right place for once, and the right place is always the space between people. Put one repeating contact in motion. That's the week. So that's the answer to David's doubt. And it's not the answer he expected. The built-in view, used honestly, isn't an off-ramp. It's a demand. Stop spending your effort on the wrong wound. Start putting it where the gap actually is. Stay past the point where nothing seems to be happening. That's harder than self-improvement, not easier. But it's the work that actually lands. Because the loneliness isn't in your character. The gap is in the scaffolding. And scaffolding is something you can actually build. One repeating contact, one again, one piece of structure that wasn't there before. The jar fills when you aim the giving right. Next time, we follow this into the third book. And the most surprising part of the whole fix, what it looks like to stop carrying this alone. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.